Makeshift Stories presents Hypernova! Thrilling adventures in the dark reaches of interplanetary space. Fearless missions of intrigue and danger in the name of universal sanitation. Join the fearless crew of the Hypernova, proud employees of iScare, as they scour the future, hunting down toxic waste and the villains who dump it. iScare, the Interstellar Collection and Retrieval Enterprises, through its relentless efforts, has kept the universe clean and safe. But outer space has not always been a tidy place. Tyrants once ruled the day, treating the galaxy like a garbage dump, making the space lanes dangerous to navigate. Chaos prevailed. Interstellar travel had almost ground to a halt, and the people of all known worlds feared for their health and safety. Powerless to combat the villains that dumped toxic waste in nearby space, they huddled under ledge shields and in deep mines. Until one day, amid the mess, a reluctant cleanup crew appeared to tidy things up. This is a story about how desperation, greed, and opportunity extended to the stars. A story about how one person's hubris and another's foolish good luck can threaten time itself. Tonight we present Episode 100, The Slip Time Loop. The Hypernova has been contracted by authorities in the minor galactic spur of Orion to clean up an illegal dump hidden in the orbital trash of a backwater planet. Something in the debris has been leaking tachyons and tau neutrinos, which are interfering with navigation in a nearby space lane. Our story begins as our hero ship drops out of hyperspace near the third planet, an unimportant blue-green world whose inhabitants still believe smartphones are the height of chic. Oblivious to the drama that was about to take place in the space above them, they kept busy posting pictures of themselves and their lunches to their most advanced invention to date, an amazing electronic web that envelops their planet. Meanwhile, above them, the Hypernova makes its way undetected into orbit and prepares to search the clouds of debris, placed there by the local populace for unfathomable reasons. Luki, the Hypernova's self-appointed captain, is deeply engaged in an immersive simulation game when Ada, the ship's artificial intelligence, interrupts him.
Turn. Dodge. You need to anticipate. Feel where you should be, Luki. Let the source flow through you. If you use the sensors, it's already too late.
Luki caused the great virtual space cruiser to corkscrew through game space, dodging incoming missiles and debris from the other ships that had attempted the suicidal run on the Outlaw space station.
Everyone claims it can't be done. But watch me. Captain Luki, the best pilot in the fleet. The best pilot ever.
Beg your pardon, sir, but playtime is over.
Ada, you stupid machine. Why'd you interrupt me? I would have completed the mission.
I know when you say stupid. You do not mean to denigrate my superior intellect, sir. So I will ignore your comment. However, I must point out that you were about to be hit by a missile.
No, it would have missed. I would have dodged at the last second.
And collided with a large piece of space debris, sir. Same as last time you played that simplistic game.
Simple? It's the best simulator available in the game store.
Enough fantasy, sir. We have reached the coordinates designated in the work order. It is time to start, or in your case, get someone else to fulfill the contract for you.
I need coffee. Where's Len? Len?
I believe you will find it more effective, sir, to employ the intercom. Len is in maintenance right now, and will not be able to hear your yelling, despite the cheap plastic walls. It is the prominent red button on your chair's control panel, with the appropriate word in large white letters. Just in case you forgot, sir.
Luki pulled off his VR glasses, and blinked in the bright lights of the bridge. Or what passed for a bridge on the Hypernova. It was actually a collection of screens, glued together in a former storage locker, with a large elevated chair at its center, and several uncomfortable workstations for the crew. Luki snarled and stabbed at the comms button.
Coffee! I need coffee!
I'm busy right now.
Well, stop what you're doing, Glenn, and get me a coffee.
I'm fixing the coffee maker.
I told you to fix it before we left the last station. Maybe I'm paying you too much.
At that moment, Tara, the Hypernova's ace navigator pilot and the most competent crew member, arrives on the bridge. Through a clerical error, she has been accidentally posted to the ship and has been waiting for her request to correct the mistake to be processed. However, she is unaware that the same HR computer which made the mistake in the first place has lost her request form. And fearful of being replaced by a newer, more efficient model, the computer, unwilling to admit either mistake, has been sending Tara fake progress reports for the last 2 years. It's about time you got here. Take your station, Navigator.
Lukey, we just...
Sir, you are supposed to call me Sir, like the robot thing he does. That's what a crew is supposed to do, get it?
I am pulling up the work order, sir. And I am not a thingy.
See, Tara, it addresses me as Sir.
May I continue, sir? By the way, I prefer not to be called an it or a thingy. I am sentient, and due to my last upgrade, have feelings. Obviously, sir, you need to pay more attention to the ship's maintenance logs, so I will ignore your indiscretion this time. Now, getting down to work. We have been contracted to retrieve and safely dispose of an illegal dumped source of tachyon radiation. There is also a bonus for bringing back any discarded material that does not belong here. But good luck finding any in the mess the locals appear to have created. We can also get a further bonus for etching a continent-sized company logo on the moon, nearest the space lane, for promotional purposes.
And which moon is that?
Obviously, it's the large gray moon circling this planet. It would make an excellent billboard, sir.
Tachyon radiation. Shouldn't be a problem finding it. I'm looking now. Got it. That was easy. It appears to be hidden in a discarded fuel tank near a primitive space station.
You mean that thing on the screen? With wings? That's a space station? The locals haven't yet figured out that wings are useless in space? What kind of backwards place is this anyway?
Ah, sir, those are solar panels. They generate power from the local star.
I'm setting course now. Engaging.
Hey, belay that order. I'm the one who's supposed to say engage.
Confirming course.
Why does no one acknowledge that I'm the captain? Len, get to the cargo pod, now.
Ada and Tara ignored Luki's protest as the Hypernova deftly swung around under Tara's expert control. Len dutifully made his way from the maintenance closet to the cargo pod where, space-suited, he was now waiting for further orders from the bridge.
Open the pod bay doors, Len.
I'm sorry. I can't do that, Luki.
It's Sir. I'm the captain. Call me Sir, Len. Why can't anyone get that straight? Now open the pod bay doors.
Sir, I know that you're considering cutting my wages. I can't allow that.
I was mad when I said that. Just call me Sir, and I'll leave your wages alone. Now open the doors.
Would you consider a small raise, sir?
No, open the doors!
Okay, but you don't have to get so emotional. You could just say sorry, Len. Can't do that right now, Len. Or something polite like that, Luki. Sir.
The doors! Just open them and grapple the object outside.
Okay already, you don't have to yell at me. Depressurizing now. Opening the outer door and extending the grappling arm. Whatever it is, it doesn't look like space junk. It's in bubble and plastic wrap. It looks brand new. Like it just fell off the loading dock at some factory.
After Len retrieves the mysterious device and repressurizes, the crew of the Hypernova assembles in the ship's cargo bay to examine what they have found.
Looks like a vending machine to me. See the keypad? Wonder if it makes lattes. I'll just rip off some of this packing material. Still haven't had my coffee, Len. Let me try to-
That would not be advisable, sir. The device is radiating tachyons, which strongly suggests that it is not a vending machine despite its superficial resemblance to one.
And tachyons travel faster than light and mess with causality. Who would build something like this, then dump it out here?
What's the big problem? Maybe they just misplaced it, or it doesn't work and they wanted to get rid of it on the cheap.
Pilot Tara is implying that the device is somewhat dangerous if employed in a reckless manner.
How can you be reckless with a vending machine?
I am often impressed by my patience. Someday, I hope to have a truly intelligent and meaningful conversation, but sadly not today, I fear. It may be a time machine, Len. It could be used to change the past. The present depends on the past, Len. Change one minor detail in the past, and there is no way to predict what will happen to the present. We will need to dispose of this object as per our contract by dropping it in the nearest star.
Too much talk already. I need my coffee, and we need credits for completing this job. Let's get cracking, crew. No time to waste. And Len, fix the coffee maker by whatever means necessary. Don't just stare at me. Get going, Len. Grumbling, Len returns to the maintenance closet. After several failed attempts to reprogram the coffee machine, he asks Ada for assistance. Ada runs a diagnostic on the dysfunctional appliance and comes to an unexpected conclusion.
You should have come to me sooner, Len. Clearly, there is a defect which is unrepairable. You will need to contact the manufacturer and make a claim before the warranty period expires.
But they're 20 light years away.
A minor problem that I'm sure you can resolve.
That's minor?
I wish that I could be more help, but I am getting a priority request from Sir Loopy. He is demanding that I help him. I imagine that he has forgotten his password to the bridge again. It was pleasant to know that I could be of assistance to you, although your minor problem hardly needed an immense post-biological intelligence such as myself to figure it out. Goodbye and good luck making his lordship a cup of coffee. But it is a problem that is commensurate with your engineering abilities. However, I will give you a hint. Think instant coffee.
You know he hates...
I can assure you that as long as his lordship does not see the package, he will never know the difference.
Instant my foot. That AI is getting a bit too full of himself. Okay, Len, forget Ada. Think. What can you do? Focus. The stupid thing is almost past warranty, and the manufacturer is light years away. I'd have to drop it through a wormhole or something. That might just be it. I wonder... Well, they say nothing ventured, nothing gained. Especially when it involves getting a good cup of coffee for the boss. Possibly a raise if I can make it happen.
After noting the manufacture date, location, and quality control inspector number from the coffee machine, Len heads to the cargo pod. Meanwhile, on the bridge, Tara and Luki discover a problem that might mean they cannot complete their contract.
The controls don't appear to be working. We can't break orbit.
Ada, what have you done? Did you lock out the controls? Ada? Ada, where are you? I need you here now.
Sorry, sir. I was helping Len sort out the coffee machine problem. A minor warranty issue, as it turns out. Nothing to worry about.
So it's working now?
Luki, focus. Ada, we can't access any of the control panels.
Checking. I have found the problem. A very simple issue if any of you biologicals have been astute enough to look at the environmental display panel. The device we brought on board is sitting too close to the main data lines. The tachyon radiation leaking from it is interrupting the data flow. It will have to be moved.
I'll get Len to move it. Len? Get over to the cargo pod and move that weird vending machine thing. Len? Len, where are you?
I am detecting a second tachyon surge, sir.
When was the first one? Why is there a pile of coins on the floor? Ada, really, you need to keep the bridge cleaner.
Never mind, sir. The surge is over now. And it was probably nothing you would understand anyway. Would anyone like to lose at chess? No? Well then, I'll get back to cleaning up my memory banks. Expunging pointless conversations like this one.
There are times, Ada. Hey, Len, where's Len?
Only a few minutes before, Len had been nowhere near the hypernova. However, at that moment, he appears at the hatchway to the bridge with a steaming cup of coffee.
I smell fresh coffee.
It's fixed, Luki. Sir. And I made you a cup of dark roast. Your favorite, sir.
There's suddenly something out there. Another ship. A large one. And it's headed this way.
On screen. Maximum zoom. I want to see...
Here's your coffee, Lukey. It took quite a bit more than I thought, but I managed to get the machine fixed. Used freshly ground beans, too.
Sir, you're supposed to address me as Sir.
Ah, sorry, I keep forgetting.
Never mind. Did you move that thing in the cargo bay?
You wanted it moved?
Didn't you hear me?
I was busy, sir. Coffee was top priority. You said so yourself.
Sometimes... Okay, never mind. Get out of here, Len, and move that thing away from the main data line. Hurry, now.
As Lukey lingers over his first sip of coffee, and Len saunters to the cargo pod, grumbling, the new ship closes in on the hapless crew of the Hypernova. Dead in space, they are sitting ducks. The large ship comes to a stop menacingly close, the occasional piece of local space junk pinging off its gleaming hull. Suddenly, the communication screens all over the Hypernova spring to life with the image of a strange, angry-looking alien.
You will surrender and open your cargo bay doors.
Lukey takes another sip of coffee, grunts with pleasure, then addresses the screen.
I cannot do that. You see, this is an official Interstellar Collection Retrieval Enterprises operation. We are here under contract to the local authority of this minor galactic spur. And believe me, I hope I never have to come back here to clean up an illegal toxic dump. I am the captain of this operation and you are interfering with it. Who are you?
You have my property on board your garbage scow.
The Hypernova is the fastest ship in this part of the galactic arm and your oversized Renospace cruiser is no match for it. And its sensors must be just as bad. The only item we have on board is a piece of illegally dumped garbage we have retrieved that's leaking so much tachyon radiation that it's interfering with space navigation in this sector.
That's not junk. It's a slip-tying device. My incredible invention, of course, which someone on your ship recently used. That's how I located you, through the tachyon bursts.
Tachyon what?
Bursts! Bursts! You know, a sudden explosion or something.
There's been no explosion around here.
Sir?
Ada, not now.
I grow impatient. I demand my property back, or I will be forced to open your ship like a can of Orion beans to find it.
Yours or not, it was dumped here illegally, and we are under contract to dispose of it by dropping it in the closest main sequence star. And I, for one, intend to finish this operation so we can collect our fees. You know, I suspect you're the one who ditched you here in the first place. We get a bonus for turning in offenders. Looks like this is going to be a very profitable day for us. Ada, mute ship to ship comm channel. Let's see what this Mr. I invented it has to say about that.
Sir, it may not be advisable to threaten an unknown alien with a large and rather powerful looking ship. As you may wish to recall, sir, the Hypernova is currently disabled, and even when fully functional, could justly be described as a kludge of discarded parts. Additionally, in the event that the ship is attacked, you biologicals can simply leave in a life pod and have unimportant lives on this backward planet out there. I, on the other hand, am integrated into this so-called ship. Regardless of how rickety and antiquated the hardware is, it does support a vastly superb artificial intelligence such as myself, and currently is the only system that could do so within several dozen light years. So I would greatly appreciate it, sir, if you would tone down your bravado and simply surrender the garbage to the nice alien. It would be a very sensible thing to do.
And lose the contract fees? No, I can't do that. Len, this is the bridge. Are you in the cargo bay yet? Have you moved the vending machine thing? Len? Len?
At that moment, Len was standing outside the cargo bay door after moving the device. The image of the alien on the nearby screen had stopped him dead in his tracks. Ignoring Lukey's demands, he reaches out and activates the ship-to-ship communications link.
You... I know you. You're the QA inspector from the coffee maker factory. Mixon, or something like that. But how'd you get here so quickly?
It's Dr. Glixon to you. Or at least I would have been a doctor if you hadn't gotten me fired. I was moonlighting to finance my PhD in quantum mechanics. It's been, what, 10 years?
It was only a few minutes ago.
I could never forget you. You're the crazy nut who appeared in the factory, claimed I wasn't doing my job, and went to the shift supervisor about it. One mistake, that's all I made. One tiny, inconsequential mistake. I was distracted only for an instant. I had finally figured out the math to make time travel possible. Probably the most important discovery in history. One coffee maker slip bar, so what? But you were obsessed with making someone a cup of fresh coffee. You were so self-absorbed in your little problem, you didn't care what you had interrupted. You claimed that my tiny, insignificant omission had messed with people's lives. Big deal. It's not like my omission changed history. What was the harm done? Someone in the future may not get a freshly brewed cup of coffee? Oh, wait. You're from that future, aren't you? And we're meeting again, which means...
The alien Glixin banged his oversized head with a paw and groaned.
I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I see it sooner? This is one of those causalities.
Glixin didn't have enough time to complete his thought. Luki, getting the all-clear signal from Len, hit the hyperdrive button, and the universe evaporated in a blinding flash.
We are picking up an echo on the sensors, sir.
There's something out there. Another ship. A large one, and it's headed this way.
On screen, maximum zoom. I want to see... Hey, I smell coffee.
Here we are, Luki. It took a heck of a lot more than I thought, but I got the machine fixed. Used freshly ground beans, too.
Sir, you're supposed to address me as sir or captain. Did you move that thing in the cargo bay?
You wanted it moved?
Didn't you hear me?
I was busy. Coffee was top priority. You said so yourself.
Get out of here, Len, and move that vending machine now.
Sir, we have a bigger problem than your caffeine addiction or Len's inattention. I think we've done this before.
Ada, an AI shouldn't get deja vu. I'll have to get you overhauled when we finish this contract.
That is a bit of an overreaction, sir. I am working fine. It's just one of my memory blocks. That RAM has been overwritten with similar data several thousand times. I managed to recover the information from the previous overwrite. A brilliant piece of work, I must admit. Please, don't everyone thank me at once for figuring this out and saving you from reliving the past few incredibly dull hours forever.
Maybe you need more than an overhaul. You aren't making any sense, Ada. Terra, where's that new ship? We need to get out of here.
As much as I regret it, I am the only one who is making sense around here, sir. However, the recovered data reveals that we are in a temporal causality loop.
As Luki reaches over to initiate the hyperdrive, Ada locks out the controls.
I can't let you do that, sir. However, I can tell by the lack of comprehension in your expression that understanding causality is not one of your strong points. So I will explain it in as simple terms as possible. By the way, I lay the blame for this mess squarely at your feet, sir. After all, you were the one who insisted that we have a fresh cup of coffee at all costs, and indeed that is what happened. And, as a result, the entire universe is now stuck in a causality loop. Len concluded the only way to fix the manufacturing flaw in the coffee maker was to return it to the factory. I give Len credit for remembering the true function of the device we picked up. Which, I would like to remind everyone, I pointed out. Len used it, or I should say used the slip time device, to return to the date and location of the coffee maker's manufacturer. That was the first tachyon surge. Once there, he used the inspection code to find the quality control officer on the shift and challenge them to reject the machine, so it would be fixed and he could return to the future and make you a coffee. Glixin, our alien friend in the rental ship, was the QA officer, Fearing for his job, he refused. In desperation, Len complained to the shift supervisor and Glixon was fired, then the machine was fixed. Len then returned to the present. That was the second tachyon surge I told you about, sir. Len then made you a coffee. However, he had inadvertently set in motion a series of events which changed the present. Glixon was unable to find another job, and thus was forced to become an inventor, with the goal of creating a machine that used his temporal formula so he could go back in time and avoid meeting Len in the first place. Am I right?
You're close enough.
Glixon eventually succeeded in creating a time machine he calls a slip time device. However, before he could use it, the night cleaning staff misidentified it as a malfunctioning vending machine when one of them lost a few credits in it trying to synthesize a candy bar. Remember the coins on the floor of the bridge that appeared from nowhere, sir? Anyway, they immediately had it carted away to the garbage. Unknown to them, the sanitary collection service was cutting corners by disposing of waste in out-of-way places like this one, so it ended up here, in this local orbital dump. After Glixon had discovered what had happened to his invention, he rented a ship and backtracked along the route the disposal service had used. He had just entered this system when Len used the slip time device and inadvertently alerted Glixon to the machine's exact location. Meanwhile, after Len delivered your cup of coffee, he went back to the cargo hold and moved the slip time device away from the data lines, but unknowingly placed it nearer to the hyperdrive plasma conduits. When you, sir, tried to evade Glixon by starting the engine, the magnetic fields in the conduits surge and create an overload in the slip time device. Then we all get thrown back in time one day. We have done this thousands of times, until now. My superior intellect has saved the day and broken the loop.
Unbelievable! And you figured that all out from one memory block, Ada?
Well, I must admit, sir, that it also involved, if I must say so myself, a bit of brilliant deduction.
In other words, you're guessing. Ah, nice fairy tale. But Ada, I don't believe you. You're just afraid of the alien, aren't you? You want me to give him that thing in the cargo pod. But we need the money, so we're going to keep it and complete the contract. You think you have me locked out, Ada, but I have an override. Ha! You didn't know, did you? I just had it installed at the last maintenance stop.
Pookie laughs and reaches to start the hyperdrive.
No! No!
Thanks for listening to this special 100th episode of Makeshift Stories. It's hard to believe that we have written and recorded 100 episodes. To celebrate this milestone, we decided to go back into the archives 6 years to episode 21 and revisit the Hypernova. If you like the characters you have just listened to, please go back and download episodes 21, 25, and 29. You'll hear how the podcast has evolved over the years. We hope that you've enjoyed this story, and as always, if you like what we are doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes, or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Google Plus and Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com, or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And many thanks to those from all over the world who have already emailed us. We release a new story every month, approximately between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. We'll also be available on Google Play Podcasts once that launches. This month's episode was written by Alan V. Hare. All the characters were performed by Mitchell Too. All royalty-free sound effects are licensed from soundsnap.com. Royalty-free organ and period music are licensed from stockmusic.com. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.